Hi, my beautiful people. This is Femi Shavery, and I am here with your daily devotion. We are on day 30 of our fast. Oh my God, I cannot believe it. I'm so grateful, so very grateful that we have arrived at this place. If you are new here, welcome, welcome, welcome. I don't know how you've heard about us, but I'm so very glad that you're here. I hope that whatever it is that you are led to listen to on this particular podcast, it pours into you. It gives you all of the insight that you're needing and assist you on your own personal journeys as you are navigating through life. If you have already been a subscriber, a supporter, you have already been on this journey with us for days, months, weeks, years at this point, I want to say thank you guys so very much for your continued discipline and your ability to allow me to be used as a vessel in your life as you are journeying through this thing called life every single day. Y'all, I'm so happy. I'm so grateful. I am so full right now because we've made it here. And even though the actual fast is ending today, the daily devotions will continue. But I want you guys to really sit with the reality of everything that has transpired in the last 30 days. How many incredible lessons we've learned, how much triumph we actually have had in our day-to-day lives, how our energy has changed, how our faith has changed, how our ability to navigate through the unforeseen circumstances has changed, how our posture has changed, how our commitments have evolved and changed, and also how much closer we feel to God every single day. This 30-day fast has done incredible things for us. And regardless to what it is that you've been praying, fasting, asking, hoping comes into fruition, you have gotten a lot from the obedience. You've gotten a lot from the discipline. You've gotten a lot from just being able to hear. And you should be happy. You should be really grateful. And you should be really, 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 really rejoicing right now because you should be proud of yourself. You should be so proud of yourself. And what is to come is so much greater than you've even envisioned. I am sitting here in awe. And I'm not taking this lightly at all. And I'm going to do my best to hold it together because this is a big milestone for a lot of people. This is something that a lot of people have never done. I do fast all the time. We do it on this podcast consistently. So I want to tell you guys, even though the fast has ended is ending today, you can absolutely start it over and change how you're fasting. You can absolutely adapt more into your fast as you extend it. You can utilize the daily devotions as a part of your foundation, or you can restart this fast. However it is that you feel you're needing to navigate through whatever it is that you're growing through, I want you to feel encouraged. I want you to feel inspired. I want you to feel really, really, really excited about what is happening in your life. This particular episode, I felt heavily on me that is like a welcoming home, right? It feels very much so like a celebration. And what am I talking about? Well, the basis of this particular episode is going to be the prodigal son, okay? And the reason I chose that is because there's so many incredible nuggets that are wrapped in the context of the prodigal son. Now, one of the main things that I feel in the coalition between the scripture speaking where God is talking about the prodigal son returning and the meaning behind so many of the parables that Jesus is speaking is that we in our own self, in our own space, in our own journeys, have definitely and are currently the prodigal son. And what does that mean? Well, it means a lot of things. Hold on, bear with me. We finna work through this thing, right? When you are navigating through life and you are growing through so many different seasons, it is natural for you to be in a space where you are trying to fit in, you're trying to cope, you're trying to fight off defense mechanisms, you have adapted defense mechanisms, you have disregarded truth of yourself, you have distanced yourself from faith, you've distanced yourself from belief in something greater than you, you have ran away from tradition, you have ran away from order and structure, to try to find yourself because you feel like you can do better, or you know better, or you are in a space where you can find a better way. And in a lot of instances, there could be good that comes from that. There is good that comes from that, right? But at the cost of losing so much of yourself in the foundation that was set for a reason for you. That's why you see people now, a lot of people are speaking about God now. A lot of people are speaking. It's like a trend. It's a thing, right? But nothing beats authentic foundation building. You can't just jump into a lifestyle you know nothing about. You can't just jump into something that you really don't fully believe, but it looks good. It sounds good. It appears to be good. So you're going to participate. When you have a faith and you have a belief and you have God really in integrated in your existence, there's no running far from him. You can't outrun where God is at because he's everywhere, because he's in you, even when you go astray. So we're in this space where when I say we're being welcomed home, it's important for you to understand that on your own quest, on your journey of life, on your path, right? You won't always be welcomed with open arms back to any space you have journeyed from. And I'm not saying going back to toxicity, because that's not where we're going. I'm not going back to drama, going back to a way of living that did not really benefit you in the best way. It wasn't where God assigned you to go. That's not what I'm speaking about. I'm speaking about welcoming you back to the authentic truth of who you are so that you can really flourish in a way you were meant to on a foundational level. Because it doesn't matter where you journey in life. Yeah, you could temporarily gain financially. You could temporarily gain in the sense of sexually. You could temporarily gain when it comes to notoriety. You can temporarily gain when it comes to being successful, but you cannot truthfully be fruitful if the foundation you are building any of these things on is not really rooted and solid and connected to the real vine. Okay. When we speak about the journey, a lot of times we do not sit with the reality of a lot of what has happened to us, a lot of what we have been forced to deal with and fight through has been self-inflicted. What do I mean by that? Sure, we could think about systemically. We could think about societally. We could think about the root causes of a lot of the embedded, restrictive ways of living, right? And the existence that the world is created on. But the reality is in your practical day-to-day life, in the decisions that you make, in the choices that you allow yourself to make, in the way that you have handled yourself has been self-inflicted, right? You have decided to go a certain way. You have decided to make a decision. You have decided to choose who you are allowing yourself to intertwine with. You have put yourself in circumstances and situations because you thought you knew better that have caused you so much that now you're needing to heal. You're needing to recover. You're needing help. You're needing to go back to the foundation so that you can really rebuild on a root level and reconnect with the substance of who you truly are. That's why you see people going back to God. They're going back to religion. They're going back to spiritual practices. They're going back to believing in something greater than them because their way did not work. Their way became a burden. Their way became too much to hold. Their way gave them a lot of trouble. Their way has put them in a circumstance and situations that they themselves cannot get themselves out of. And the problem with this is you expect quick results. That's why we do extended fast. That's why we do extended devotions. That's why it has to become a part of your lifestyle, because God is not going to be summoned by you. It takes work. It takes you having to learn hard lessons. It takes you having to really humble yourself. It takes you being real honest about where it is that you have fallen short. It takes you to really get on your knees and humble your heart and truly cry out, because you yourself have created this atmosphere. You've created this life. You've created this state of being that you yourself cannot get yourself out of. And that is where we find ourselves in, often in a lot of cases, especially when you are being rebellious. You're trying to undo the traditions. You're trying to undo the past. You're trying to undo what has already been set forth you, instead of trying to evolve it, instead of trying to enhance it by being a better you. Not trying to break it apart to the point to where you've taken the necessary seeds of it. You've taken the necessary lessons of it. You've taken the necessary truth of it. You've taken what it really meant and distorted it to match your perspective and your desires and your wants. And now you find yourself empty because the substance is gone. So here we are. We've journeyed through, right? We've journeyed through. We found ourselves in circumstances and situations that have caused us to have a lot of problems, caused us to create calamity with our words, with our thoughts, with our behaviors, with the ways that we interact, the friends we create, the people we allow ourselves to be tied to, the places we allow ourselves to be in the midst of, because we don't listen. And I'm saying we as all, even though it's all separate situations, and we don't listen to what we know is right innately. Yes, we know that this situation could turn out bad, but it ain't gonna happen to us. Or yeah, we know this person may have done this to other people in the past, but it ain't gonna happen to us. Or yeah, I know that this ain't technically legal, but ain't nothing gonna happen to us. Or I know that, you know, this is kind of risky, but it ain't gonna happen to us. So we play Russian roulette with our life. We play Russian roulette with our heart. We play Russian roulette with our money. We play Russian roulette with the people that are sent to be a part of our journey to bless us, to the point of where we've burned bridges. We've burnt cities that were meant for us to thrive in. So it's a hard journey. And it comes to a point to where you cannot blame anyone but you. When you're real honest with the decisions you made, when you're real honest about the choices that you made, despite the evidence of not doing that, the proof of not doing that, the knowledge of not doing that, you negated the wisdom, you negated the instruction, you negated the elder advice, you negated the factuality of it, and decided to go your own way. And now you're having to return back home. Now, home, returning back home can be a lot of different things for a lot of people. It could be returning back to your family roots. It can be returning back to tradition. It could be returning back to a career. It could be returning back to a home. It could be returning back to a relationship. It could be returning back to anything. But most importantly, it's returning back to self. Because it doesn't matter what circumstance you find yourself in. If you lose you, you'll never feel like any place is home or any space is home because you do not fit in. Because you're so worried about fitting in. You really want to fit in. You want to be liked. You want to be supported. You want to be cared for. At the expense of your authenticity. So when we speak about the prodigal son, first of all, what does prodigal mean? Well, it means, in basic terms, it's a person who spends money recklessly, extravagantly. So you're basically living beyond the necessity of your life. You're just doing the most, which we all can be extravagant in our own ways. But when it becomes a detriment, that's an issue. Because when we're speaking about the prodigal son was one of two brothers. Now, you have to remember that back in the days of historic, which is what the traditions of family is about, your sons, your firstborn is who's due to inherit most of the wealth, most of the land, most of everything. And your second or the youngest gets a third of that. Okay. Now, with the prodigal son, there were two brothers. One, very traditional, did what he was told, worked hard, was obedient, did what he knew was right based on the Jewish beliefs during that time, the principles of the family tradition. In order for him to inherit what his father earned, he had to work. He had to do his assigned duties to the fullest so that he could. The youngest son, the prodigal son, decided, I'm going to go about my own way. So he goes about his own way. But first, before he leaves, because he doesn't have anything of his own, he asks his father to give him his portion of what he was due to inherit. Now, mind you, his father isn't dead, so technically shouldn't have gotten it. But his father gave it to him. Gave him what it was that he would naturally be inheriting. And what happened? He went into the city, lived his life to the fullest, prostitutes, extravagant living, doing everything he wanted to do, spending his money, partying, etc. Okay. And got to a point to where he lost everything. He had nothing. Not only did he have nothing, no one would give him anything. No one would share with him. So he had to humble himself and ask. Okay. So when we get into Luke 15, right? And in Luke 15 and 17, he says, Jesus is speaking, okay? And let me give you the backstory. Let me read the fullness of it so that you understand what it is that I'm speaking about, okay? So Jesus stated, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off a distant country, and squandered all of his wealth. Right? After he had spent everything, there was severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, which means he went and got a job, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. Now, I'm going to stop there and I'm going to reference back into Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy 14 and 8, The pig is seen as unclean. Okay. Although it has a split hoof, it does not chew the cud. You are not to eat their meat or touch their carcasses. Okay. Now, this is instruction given by God in Deuteronomy. You understand? Now, when we go back to the prodigal son in 15, we see that he got so low that he needed to work. And the only thing he had at his exposure, at his disposal to do, was work in the field with the pigs, which is A, going against the traditions, going against God, going against his actual cultural principles, which is Jewish. Remember, God was Jewish. Okay. So you are meaning to tell me you're out, he's out in the city. Okay. He's doing what he has to do now because he's lost everything that his father has given him. All of the riches he had, he has squandered it doing whatever he wanted to do. And now he needs a job. So he got a job. Okay. So let's put that in our own terms. You come up, let's make it basic. You got income tax, or you got a good check, or you got a whatever, right? You spend your money partying. You spend your money on all the luxury items. You spend your money going and doing whatever it is you want to do because you're feeling up. I'm feeling up right now. I'm good, right? You are. You're feeling great. And as you are up, you realize you losing. You ain't got no more money. You don't have no more money. So now you need to get a job. But the only job you can do is something that you know is against what you view as morally, rightfully you. So it could be for people who believe that prostitution is something that you should not be doing. Now you are at the wit's end and you got to feed yourself, because it don't say nothing about no children. He don't have no children. He just trying to fend for himself. So that could be you going into a lifestyle of selling drugs. It could be you selling your body. It could be you stealing from people. It can be you robbing. It could be you doing whatever it is you feel like you need to do that you know morally goes against what you know God has instructed for you to do, to the point of where you have actually now deviled into things that go completely against your beliefs. So not only are you now at the bottom, you are now literally defiling God, your beliefs, your family, and you are ultimately an embarrassment to where it is you have come from. Because in these days, and families in general now, well, this should be, but there's a hierarchy, right? You're supposed to be you're supposed to be building up the inheritance. You're supposed to be building up the legacy. You're supposed to be making your father proud. But at this point, the prodigal son becomes a disgrace, right? So going back to Luke, he's working with the pigs, and it says, he longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son. Now stop right there, because in this particular time period, the elderly men were not to run. Right? They were not to run. So he literally went against the structure of the culture because he was so overjoyed. He was so excited. He was so welcoming of his long lost son. Now, this is knowing Your son has squandered everything. He has nothing. He has been out there living his best horrible life. He has been out there doing the most. He has defiled God, the family, and him. And ultimately, he still is excited to see his son, despite it all, right? So he's running to his son. He hugs him. He kisses him. And the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy of being called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him." Mind you, robes were considered only for honorable men. You don't get a robe unless you are considered honorable and of a sense of stature. So to put that on someone who has defiled God, defiled the family and him is a big statement in itself. Then his father said, "Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet." Now, mind you, sandals were only for the royal, only for the astute and the honorable. Everyone wasn't wearing sandals. And the ring, as we learn in Genesis, Pharaoh had a, what was called a signet ring. That's king, right? So you have roped this son who is now looked at as disgusting slop because he has defiled everything. He's gone against everything. But you're giving him this sense of honor. Not only do you rope him in such royalty, you then instruct the people to go and get a fattened calf and we're going to celebrate him. You want me to get my fattened calf, which is considered what you do at only special occasions. You rolling out the red carpet for this particular son, right? Meanwhile, his brother is in the field. He's working. Okay. He came near the house. He heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. They said, "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go. So his father went out and pleaded with him, but he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property and prostitutes come home, you killed the fattened calf for him." "My sons," the father said, "you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because the brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now he is found." Now, listen to me. All right. Listen to me. We're on this journey. Here you are on this journey. You out in the world. You have done and lived your thing. You have done your thing and it was enjoyable, but you got on hard times and you had to do some things that you may not be proud of. You've made some choices that you may not be proud of. You have made some decisions that have cost you a lot, but to go back home and be welcomed there by the very patriarch that should be completely disowning you based on the standards of the expectations of your culture, your family, your traditions, etc., and so on. You're welcomed like a king or a queen. You're welcomed like royalty, right? Everyone ain't gonna be happy about this because understand this, there's two sides of this coin. You have someone who is excited for your arrival because I love my son. I love my son. I love you. I'm happy. I'm happy you're alive. You're not dead. I'm so happy. You've returned back. But you have the other son who has always done the right thing. He has always worked so hard and you've never really celebrated him. You've never given him an opportunity to. So naturally, there is a sense of resentment there. There's a sense of going to be a sense of anger there. There's going to be a sense of unhappiness there because it is not fair. And this is what you're going to be faced with in some instances, because maybe you did some wrong things at this job. Maybe you did some wrong things in this relationship. Maybe you did some wrong things to your children. Maybe you did some wrong things when it came to friend group. Maybe you've just been so horrible on yourself. Maybe you have neglected yourself. You let yourself go. You ended up not having a place to stay. You ended up having to do some things that really are against who you know you truly are. You have really put yourself in a really bad situation, but now you have the ability to raise yourself up, but you first had to humble yourself and you've returned back home. Home may not be a city. Home may not be a state. Home may not be a place. Home may be in you. Now I'm returning back. Yes, I used to prostitute. Now I'm preaching the gospel. Yes, I used to sell drugs. Now I'm getting people off of them. Yes, I have been someone who never wanted to work for the man. Now I am rising up the corporate ladders. Yes, I used to be someone who would eat whatever I wanted to. Now I'm being strict about what it is I put in my body. No, I used to be someone who didn't believe in fasting and devotion, and now I have committed my life to it. No, I haven't been someone who liked heterosexual relationships, but now I am deciding I want to be in one. No, I used to decide I didn't want to be around certain type of culture, creeds, and beliefs, and now I have a friend group that's mixed up with all of them. I am not who I was. Right? Right? This is what you may be saying to yourself. This is what has happened for you. It has not all been bad, because you've learned the value of the essence of the foundation that's naturally embedded in you. The world has opened your eyes to what is truth and what is not. And now you have an opportunity to go back home. So you are arriving back home. But when you arrive back home, not everybody is going to celebrate you. So understand, when you get this new job, when you get this new promotion, when you birth this child, when you get married, when you decide I'm going to move to a new city, when you decide I'm going to get a new house, when you decide I'm going to take more care of myself, I'm going to choose to be more healthy, I'm going to get into gardening, I'm going to be more of a community advocate, I'm going to expand my wings beyond the culture I understand and learn about others, I'm going to pour into others, I'm going to invest in others, I'm going to be a better human being because it is best for others. Not everybody is going to be happy for you. So understand that as you arrive to this new level that God is exalting you from, the prodigal son is about more than just rebellion. It is about grace. It is about mercy, because the streets could have killed him. The people could have killed him. Eating the pork could have killed him. Doing what he needed to do out there to survive could have killed him. But the thing is, he never gave up, and he humbled himself enough to know it was time to go home. He had no choice. He had no choice. Whatever route you took taught you a lot about what it is that really matters. It taught you a lot about yourself. It taught you a lot about people. It taught you a lot about the importance of the health. It took you a lot to learn. It took you a lot of time. You hurt a lot of people. You did a lot of things, but you remembered that it was time for you to go home. Why? Because that is where your foundation lies. Your foundation lies in your prayer life. Your foundation lies in your true core belief systems. Your foundation lies in your obedience. Your foundation lies in your ability to speak what you know is truth and humble yourself. Acknowledge where you went wrong. Speak the truth of it. Do not run from it. Don't lie about it. Be honest and integral. That is why you are welcomed back. But not everybody is going to be happy that you have arrived. Not everyone is going to be happy that you have evolved. Not everybody's going to understand. Some are going to want you to stay right where it is you chose to go. Maybe everybody not going to be happy that you got back in this relationship. Maybe everybody not going to be wanting to celebrate the fact that you're about to give birth or you're about to have baby or you decide you want to start a family. Maybe somebody is not going to be happy that you're deciding to finally commit yourself to something beyond where it is you allowed yourself to be for so long. Maybe it's you who is tuggling with the reality of going back to what you know is right for you versus remaining where you've always allowed yourself to escape to because you were fighting against what you knew innately what was right for you. Maybe it's you. Maybe you are that somebody that's not happy for someone. Maybe it's you who has this aura about yourself where you feel like, I just don't think it's fair. But favor ain't fair. Grace ain't fair. Mercy ain't always fair. It ain't about what's fair. It is about what God deems is purposeful and right. And if you humble yourself and your heart is still connected to the roots of it all, there is nothing you can do that won't allow you to be brought back. You ain't went too far for God to grab you, but he ain't gonna chase you. If you read about the prodigal son, you also understand that he decided to come back. He had no choice but to come back. He could have stayed out there and continued to be with the pigs, but he got so low. He got so convicted. He got so heavy with the burden of living the way he had to live to survive that he humbled himself and went home. But before he could even make it there, before he even got, he was still far away, but his father saw him and ran into him, met him, went against what he culturally was supposed to do. Because by beliefs and by foundation, he should have been shunned out. He should have never been welcomed home, which was the aura and the self-righteousness that his other son has. No, he can't come back. No, he shouldn't be here. No, you shouldn't be giving him a robe and a ring and feeding him and celebrating him because he wasn't right. But do you understand the substance of his return? The substance of your return is because you're able to bring a different thing into this old tradition, this old way of living, this old belief system, this old structured community. I'm able to bring to you what I learned. I'm able to bring a different wisdom. I'm able to bring a different form of support. I'm able to bring a different understanding, which means we can bring other people in. We can help other people. We can provide hope for other people. We can provide clarity and peace for other people. Through me, they can see it's possible. Through me, they can see what is out here and what is not worthy of their true essence. This is a testament of favor, grace, mercy, and redemption. Redemption. You have grown through so many things. You have grown through so many phases. You have experienced so many things. And here you are returning back to home. That's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. But understand, not everyone will be happy you're back. Some people may have never seen this version of you. It's new to them, so it's uncomfortable. Not only is it uncomfortable, it just feels fake. It feels disingenuous, but it's real because it's in your heart. You can't fake the heart. It is there or it ain't. And this is where your overflow comes from. Your capacity has been stretched. Your eyes have been opened. Your opportunity for newness is there. You have laid seeds in so many spaces. And if you were doing good in the spaces you were in, even if you were out in the street, you worked in a different community, you did a different type of life, if you were sowing seeds of good in those spaces, despite there being spaces that you may not should have been in, even those spaces that were looked at as uncharted waters will be blessed because of where you went, because of the things you did and were able to do. You looking as royalty, going into places that are considered as peasants, you did good there. You didn't do all bad. Maybe it's I'm leaving from this structured way of living so that I could go out here with the common folk and see how they live and be a part of them and help and have normal friends. And maybe you were not a schemer. Maybe you were not a scammer. Maybe you were not grimy. Maybe you were just living in, doing the most, having a good time, partying, just doing all the things that you do when you want to have what you feel as a great time. But maybe in those moments, you were also speaking life into people. Maybe in those moments, you were also making people feel good about themselves. Maybe in the moments, you were also pouring into people in a way that brought them up as you were depreciating. It was making them feel like they were not alone. Maybe you were giving hope in spaces where hope was not there. And that is why you were sent there in the first place, which is why you were extended grace, why you were extended mercy, why you were able to survive it and come back home. Perhaps that is what this was about the whole time. Going into places to show people that it's possible to be in any space and give hope, possibility, despite where you come from. Despite what you should have been doing. We see a lot of people who grew up, they grew up in a very wealthy household. They have trust funds. They grew up in the suburbs. They should not be wanting to indulge in hood activities. However, they find such excitement in the dangerous. They find excitement in the poverty. They find excitement in the depth of the risky, only to eventually die there or need to go back home. But they learned a lot about themselves in the process. They learned a lot about other people. A lot of their biases have been broken. A lot of their bigotry has been broken. A lot of their subconscious thoughts have been broken. Their biases, a lot of their inability to see beyond where it was that they were has changed. And that has opened up new doors. That has provided new hope. That has given new opportunity. That has really helped them to see the world differently. That is beautiful. And that's all God. So don't negate your process. You're going home now. You are back to your roots. You are going to flourish like never before, not because of the people who are not happy for you, but because of the process it took for you to get here. You should be happy. You should be excited. You have returned home. That's an exciting thing. So as we are on day 30, this is so beautiful that we are closing off with this particular episode because it is a story of redemption. You've gone through a lot of things. You've lost a lot of things. You have had to sacrifice a lot of things. But regardless to what it was, you have now come full circle. And that is why your story, that is why your journey, that is why your blessings are going to be that much greater, because you are here now. And that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Okay. I love you guys so very much. I'm so excited and I'm so grateful that we have gotten to this place. 30 days doesn't seem like a long time, but 30 days went very fast and it was very fruitful and it had a lot of substance in this. And I hope that you found deeper parts of yourself in it. I hope that you realize that there's so much beauty here. And I hope that more importantly, you realize that there is so much grace to be extended despite the things you've seen and experienced on the way. You are here on purpose. You're in this space on purpose. And that is exactly why God has positioned you. Okay. So congratulations. Congratulations. Thank you guys so very much for your love, your support, your dedication, your discipline. Thank you so much for sticking through it. It is incredible. Even though the fast ends today, you can continue on your fast individually. You can start it back over. You can pick up where you left off. You can do however you choose. You can go back and visit the one from July, September, which was also 30 days. You can do whatever it is that you feel you're needing to do. The daily devotions will continue, but the fasting is what has, what will stop. But we will continue and pick it up again in the spring, the fast, once spring launches. So give ourselves a bit of recalibration. But every day you'll still have a daily devotion in addition to some other episodes that I feel led to release for you guys. I love you so very much. Let's get into our prayer and then we'll read the daily devotion and close out this fast in a big way. So let's go. Oh, God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the power of redemption and grace. Thank you for allowing us to be on this path as steady as we have, as committed as we have, as tied to your heart as we have. We have learned a lot about ourselves. We've learned a lot about people. We've learned a lot about the power of obedience. Most importantly, we've learned a lot about the love you have for us. And that is something we cannot quantify. Thank you so much for believing in us, allowing us to all connect to each other so that we can feel deeply connected to you in a way that we had not before. I thank you that you have used us all as vessels to pour into the spaces that were being neglected, even those spaces within ourselves. Thank you for healing our hearts. Thank you for clearing our minds. Thank you for positioning us to win, even when it looks like we wouldn't. Thank you for our entering into this 30 days, not looking like how it is that we anticipated it to turn out. We thank you for the favor. We thank you for the grace. We thank you for the overflow. We thank you for the power you've given us to speak life into every space, every part of ourselves. God, I love you so very much. And we are so grateful for everything you choose to do in our lives. In your name, Jesus, we give you all the honor. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. Amen. Okay, so let's get into the daily devotion. I am reading from the Moments of Peace in the Presence of God, morning and evening meditation. And here we go. Turn to it. It is titled A Courageous Life. I hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always, Christ will be exalted. Philippians 1:20. Live in a way that brings honor to the good news of Christ, standing strong with one purpose, that you work together as one for the faith of the good news. Philippians 1:27. Sometimes you will have an immense longing for heaven. To be free of suffering, fear, illness, debt, heartbreak, and stress would be just, well, heavenly. This was Paul's condition in prison. His greatest joy was thinking about being with Jesus in heaven, free from persecution and pain. Yet until God called him home, he was determined to live in a manner that honored Christ. It takes courage to live as a Christian, to face challenges by redirecting your focus from the weaknesses to God's strength. Yet that is what you have been called to do. And you can do it. You can live courageously today, and God will certainly be exalted in you. Dear God, I want to live in a way that honors you. Give me the courage to look past my problems to your power. Amen. The evening, finding favor with God. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. Psalm 17:8. Please, Lord, save us. Please, Lord, give us success. God bless the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless all of you from the temple of the Lord. Psalm 118:25-26. Parents try never to have favorites among their children. With the birth of each child comes a love tailor-made just for him or her. The biblical David, however, unabashedly assumed he was the apple of God's eye. He assumed he was a favorite son. From that place of special favor, he asked for God's protection. In intimate language, he depicted a mother hen covering her hatchlings. Whatever startled, the chicks would run toward their mother, and she lifts a protective wing to hide them. You too can be favored by God. You too can be a favorite child. He lifts a spreading wing to cover you with warmth and safety, and you can take refuge in his protection. Being a favorite son or daughter entitles you to the bounty of God's goodness and grace. Dear God, you affirm me in many ways. Your power upholds me and your love enfolds me. You say yes to me even when I say no to myself. Amen. God is so good. And I'm so grateful that we are here. I'm so honored that we are here. And I am so grateful that you have entrusted me along this journey in your life. I am so proud of you. And I hope that you are proud of yourself. Welcome home. Welcome, welcome, welcome. May your heart be filled with everything you deserve. May your love heal, support, and encourage others to stand proudly in their purpose, in their faith, in their alignment with what it is that God has for them. I love you guys. I love you guys. I love you guys. Until our next episode, please be gentle with yourself and be gentle with others. Bye.